Ponder on this. Compiled by a student who has imposed his own punctuation on the original text. From the writings of Alice A. Bailey and the Tibetan master Jwal Kul. Copyrighted by the Lucis Publishing Company. Read by Vivian Hart. The Great Invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Comments by the compiler. Scattered through all my writings over the years is a mass of information which needs collating and bringing together as a basis for the instruction of disciples in training for an initiation. From the Rays and the Initiations, page 323. The present compilation is an attempt in this direction. The Tibetans' books are not being read as enthusiastically as some students expect. One of the reasons seems to be that many readers are deterred by the rather abstruse sections or passages that occur in greater or lesser extent in all the books. And of course, if the average student should, in his innocence or enthusiasm, happen to start off by trying to read a treatise on cosmic fire, then it is only to be expected that he should lose heart. As D.K. himself remarks, "To many what I will say will be as meaningless as a treatise on cosmic fire is to the average reader." From the Rays and the Initiations, page 328. Luckily, the rest of the books are not quite of the same caliber, and though they are interspersed with longer or shorter sections that are out of the mental reach of the average student, these books, nevertheless, contain such a mass of interesting and valuable information that each occult student should attempt to master as much of the available knowledge and wisdom as his stage of development will allow. It was thought that a compilation of classified extracts of some of the concepts that can be more readily understood might prove to be of use, and might also act as a stimulant to such students to find out more about the subjects so briefly broached. To enable them to do so, a reference is given with each quotation, referring to the book and page number from where it was obtained. The question was how best to classify the hundreds of extracts that have been made. It was decided to group them under headings and then to arrange the latter alphabetically. The system followed can, of course, be subjected to considerable criticism. One of the difficulties that cropped up time and again was that certain of the extracts could just as well be classified under several other headings that have been used. It was felt, however, that space could not be sacrificed by repeating the same quotation under different headings. A few cross-references have been given, and if there should prove to be a demand for it, this system could be amplified in possible later editions, and further references could also be included under each heading to assist interested students. There was certainly not a paucity of material to choose from. The trouble was rather that so much had to be excluded that one would really have liked to insert. In going through the index of headings that have been used, it will be found that several headings that are usually considered to be of importance in esoteric studies have not been included. These shortcomings are fully realized, but at least one more volume would have been required to do justice to a more complete classification. In the majority of cases, the information contained in the quotations is rather incomplete, but the idea is only to stimulate the student's interest in the subject, and that he should refer to the books to get information in its proper context and in full detail. It is hoped that this work may contribute to bring the Tibetan's teachings to the attention of an even wider circle of students. A student, Pretoria, February 1971. Extract from a statement by the Tibetan, August 1934. Suffice it to say that I am a Tibetan disciple of a certain degree, and this tells you but little, for all are disciples from the humblest aspirant up to and beyond the Christ himself. I live in a physical body, like other men, on the borders of Tibet, and at times, from the exoteric standpoint, preside over a large group of Tibetan lamas when my other duties permit. It is this fact that has caused it to be reported that I am an abbot of this particular lamasery. Those associated with me in the work of the hierarchy, and all true disciples are associated in this work, know me by still another name and office. AAB knows who I am and recognizes me by two of my names. I am a brother of yours who has traveled a little longer upon the path than has the average student, and has therefore incurred greater responsibilities. I am one who has wrestled and fought his way into a greater measure of light than has the aspirant who will read this article, and I must therefore act as a transmitter of the light, no matter what the cost. I am not an old man, as age counts among the teachers, yet I am not young or inexperienced. My work is to teach and spread the knowledge of the ageless wisdom wherever I can find a response, and I have been doing this for many years. I seek also to help the Master M and the Master KH wherever opportunity offers, for I have long been connected with them and their work. In all the above, I have told you much, yet at the same time, I have told you nothing which would lead you to offer me that blind obedience and the foolish devotion which the emotional aspirant offers to the guru and master whom he is as yet unable to contact. Nor will he make that desired contact until he has transmuted emotional devotion into unselfish service to humanity, not to the master. The books that I have written are sent out with no claim for their acceptance. They may or may not be correct, true, and useful. It is for you to ascertain their truth by right practice and by the exercise of the intuition. Neither I nor AAB is the least interested in having them acclaimed as inspired writings, or in having anyone speak of them with bated breath as being the work of one of the masters. If they present truth in such a way that it follows sequentially upon that already offered in the world teachings, if the information given raises the aspiration and the will to serve from the plane of the emotions to that of the mind, the plane whereon the masters can be found, then they have served their purpose. If the teaching conveyed calls forth a response from the illumined mind of the worker in the world and brings a flashing forth of his intuition, then let that teaching be accepted. but not otherwise. If the statements meet with eventual corroboration or are deemed true under the test of the law of correspondences, then that is well and good. But should this not be so, let not the student accept what is said.